Okay, so I'm very excited to share with you finally, after all of these weeks, my interview with Kim D. So basically, a few weeks ago, I interviewed Kim D with 10 questions. So it was a mix of questions from our listeners, my listeners, and questions that I put together myself. So I will be playing the audio version of that interview. The interview is currently available under Kim's Patreon. If you are more of a visual person, there is a clip of Kim D with her friend Barbie that is also part of that interview. Well, she is more of a silent participant, but she does ask a few questions and clarifies a few things. And you will hear Barbie in the background at some point in time, but for the most part, the interview is mostly between Kim D and I, and I try to pick questions that I thought would be very interesting for my listeners to find out about Kim D. I felt like those were questions that were probably never asked to Kim, or that people really wanted to find out. So that being said, I will play the audio version of this interview on my podcast, and I will also add some of my commentary at key moments of the interview, just to clarify a few things to make sure that my listeners understand where I was coming from with that, because with Kim D during that interview, we go all the way back season one, right? It's not just talking about the recent seasons of Housewives, and it's not just talking about the time that Kim D was on the show. We try to talk about everything, which I thought was very nice. So that being said, before I start playing the interview for you guys, I just wanted to say a few things here and there. If you are subscribed to Kim's Patreon, you will see under the comment sections of that interview, it's a lot of positive comments. Honestly, I cannot be more excited and overjoyed. It seems like Kim has a lot of great listeners and people that are open and willing to discover new podcasters, bloggers, that kind of thing, right? So if you are in the podcast business or blogging business, you have to have tough skin. I cannot stress that enough. You have to have the skin of a honey badger if you are going to make it in this business. So that being said, most of the comments are pretty much positive, and I think I got even some new people following my podcast that had never heard of me before. So for like to all of you that have decided to join the Housewives Relatable community, thank you so much. I want to extend a very warm welcome to you all. And I have a feeling that we're going to agree on a lot, and we are also going to disagree on a lot as well. And I hope that that's okay. So that being said, there were a few comments, not a lot, just a few, under the Patreon where a person made a comment. And it's not really my style to usually respond back to negative comments because it's part of the game. I'm totally okay with people not liking me, not liking my style, not liking something about me. That's fine. You cannot please everyone, right? And that's fine. That's okay. However, there is one thing that I have a little bit of a problem with is when people are implying that what I'm talking about is not something factual. For some reason, that is my trigger. So whenever someone says that what I'm talking about is not factual, I always extend to that person directly, right? Because I don't hide behind anything. Like, I speak my mind, and I just reached out to the person to say I would be more than happy to provide you with the information that you are looking for because I did a lot of research when it comes to that, right? And I have it. I have the names, I have the legal documents, I have the docket numbers, whatever you want, I can give it to you, right? So to me, this is a way to keep communication open and transparent. And if you want to call me out on something, no problem, I can back it up. So now when the person goes ghost and they don't respond and they just want to insist on the fact that what you're saying is that doesn't make sense or is not credible, now I know that I'm dealing with a person who is just maybe a planted agitator, maybe it's a person who is a professional complainer, and it doesn't matter what I'm willing to provide to this person, they will never accept this as a proof, okay? And it is very important to differentiate facts over fiction. So, you know, I can go toe-to-toe with people and provide evidence and proof and receipts, like we say in this day and age. But if the person goes ghost and does not respond back to me, there's nothing I can do. I cannot go toe-to-toe. So to that, I will say bye, Felicia. Because, you know, I'm not about to go under Kim's Patreon and start arguing with people that disagree with me or people that are, you know, spreading things that I conceive as unfactual, right? I'm not going to go and start arguing under someone else's Patreon. I think that's rude. Those are her paid patrons, and I'm not going to argue and be disrespectful with them. That's not what I do. However, on my own platform, I will call you out, and I will say, if you want to receive that information, I have it. Okay, and then maybe we can squash that. That being said, I also feel like, and all of you guys, you know that I like Kim D, but I also feel like you have a responsibility, as you know, this is her Patreon. So I'm a big girl, I can handle myself and I can respond directly to the people. But again, I said, I don't think that it's fair that I battle or that I address or argue with her patrons. I think it's rude, right? So I just think that as the person that manages the Patreon, Kim could have easily responded back to that person and just say, no, I'm not skeptical of anything. I asked Stella to speak about this and I appreciate the due diligence because she did. This is something that me and her talked about. She wanted me to talk about it. I didn't have any intention of talking about it. As I said, I already had my 10 questions prepared for Kim D. This is something that someone sent her. That person was not me. And it came from my blog and she was interested in it. Her and Barbie were interested in it because, as you guys know, or maybe you guys don't know, Barbie has an IT or security background. So a person with her education would appreciate that kind of reporting for sure, right? So they definitely wanted me to talk about this. And I feel like it could have easily been said to that patron in the comment section just to clear things out and just say, no, 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 we ask you to come on. We ask her to talk specifically about this, and we know that diligence has been done. Now, thank you for your comment, honey. No problem. Have a nice day. Something around those lines. And then it clears things up for everybody. So, anyways, I just thought I would say that. And also, the interview that I did with Kim happened a few weeks before Kim D and Teresa and Louis and Jim Leonards met at Rails. So it was not done after, it was done before that. And so it is very possible that, you know, we do not discuss about Teresa a whole lot. I did not want the interview to be centered around Teresa and, you know, that kind of stuff. And everybody knows that I am a Melissa fan, but at the same time, I'm not just going to go on someone else's podcast and just gush over Melissa, right? I find that I try to keep it really down the middle, like give a little bit of everything to everyone so everyone feels like, okay, this is an open conversation discussion and keep everyone happy. So without any further delays, guys, here is the interview between myself and Kim D. I hope you enjoy. We're just going to go a little bit the way back. So it has to do with the Epic Posh Fashion Show. So people want to know, who was the friend that Jacqueline was texting from under the table at your Posh Fashion Show?
I've asked Jacqueline this question a number of times, and she said it wasn't just one person, okay? There were a husband and wife that were friendly with Teresa. She's still friendly with Teresa. So I don't want to really out her name, but at the time, I think I might do it in my book, but at the time she was more friendly with Jacqueline, and friendly with Teresa also. And so was her husband. Okay. So that's how this inside information was coming out. And what happened was they had told Jacqueline this at least a week before the fashion show, that someone was going to be set up, okay? That person happened to be at my fashion show also. I know her. I don't think she really meant anything by it. You know, everyone talks smack in this group. And I think that they had Jacqueline so revved up that at first they thought it was Caroline Manzo that was going to be set up, because they were saying Kim Granatelle was coming, okay? They really didn't know who was going to be set up. They really didn't. But they knew someone. And that's, I think, the fact that they didn't know exactly who, I think that's why they all got so riled. And I think Jacqueline, that's when you see her get so angry at the end. And she's fighting basically with everyone, and she doesn't go to the reunion. So it was a mutual friend, a husband and wife. Okay, that's the only hint that I can give you. And to get the true answer of that, you're going to have to read my book, because Jacqueline and I we interviewed Jacqueline for my book. And the truth is going to come out there, but I can give you that hint. The best I can do.
Okay. I will definitely buy your book.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so another question that people had, they wanted to know, season one, there's an episode, I think it's the final episode, Jacqueline and Caroline are talking to each other. And Caroline says to Jacqueline that she should feel sorry for Dina and that she knows what Dina is. To which Jacqueline responded, I know what she is. You told me what she is. What exactly is Dina?
Okay, so, this is a good question. I got a lot of information on Dina. But when she's, so it's the first season. So they were all still okay?
Yes.
The only thing that
is the final dinner where Teresa flipped the table. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
and then Jacqueline defended Danielle and said that, you know, Dina, you brought the book and all of that, and it created this whole chaos. And then Caroline was like, no, it was me. And then at the end, when they were walking away from the restaurant, Caroline said, you know what she is. You know, you should feel sorry for her. You know what she is. Mm.
Family.
You came to me and you were like, I know what Dina is. I know.
Jacqueline just reconfirmed everything I already believed about her and knew about her.
You were like, feel sorry for her. Feel sorry for her. How can I feel sorry for her when you know her?
Because you're wrong. No. It wasn't about me. It was about what was right.
Jacqueline, when you know who you're hurting? You know who you're hurting?
You know, in this family, it's hard because you're expected to stick together, right or wrong.
I
don't fault her for anything because I know what it stems from. It stems from her good heart. But, you know, this isn't Disneyland.
I don't know what it is in Danielle that she sees that is friendship worthy to her, and I have to respect that.
Well,
she says that to Jackie.
Yeah, you know, honest to God, I don't really know exactly. I mean, there was a lot of things that they thought about Dina. First of all, Dina was definitely part of the book situation. You know, they were all passing it around at the chateau, all of them, making fun of Danielle. They bullied her. They all bullied her. Okay, so there's no question about that. Danielle was bullied. That's one of the reasons why I was brought to the first photo shoot with them. That's how I met pretty much all of them. I knew Jacqueline, of course, through Danielle. That's because they were bullying her, and she was afraid to go by herself. So I went with her. They put us in a secluded room. It was the first, you know, after the first season of The Table Flip. And that's how Carlos King recognized me and Caroline's backyard when I got on the show. With that said, there was a situation where, Dina had her daughter on the show, and supposedly papers were signed to get a child that was underage to get her on the show, and they're saying that she basically, forged her the father of Dina's daughter, but she didn't ask for permission. And when you see Caroline going crazy on the stage and Dina saying to her, don't say it, Caroline was screaming at Danielle, crying like, how could you do that? Because Danielle reached out to the husband, you know, the original husband who was the father of her daughter. So it could be in relation to that. Like, you know what Dina is. Dina does fib a little. at that time, her and her husband were not doing well, okay? So it could have been, you know what she is, that she puts up a front, that she wants people to believe that she's a certain way and she's not. And they knew at the time that Danielle had been reaching out to the ex-husband, okay, the father of her daughter, about the fact that he did not sign the papers to let the daughter be on the show. So that's the only thing that I could surmise, because that was all going on. So that's a little inside scoop about that. But, you know, they were still, Dina and her sister were still on decent terms. It all happened, the bad stuff happened after the reunion when she asked Caroline not to reveal and not to make a thing of it. And when they took a break, because there was no drama, Caroline gets tapped on the shoulder by the producers and said, we need you to bring this up. There's no drama. And of course, Caroline does bring it up, goes against her sister, brings it up for the show, starts crying, carrying on. Dina was not too pleased. So that's the only thing that I could think of, that why she would say that.
While we are on the topic of Caroline and Dina, I just wanted to ask you about your opinion of Caroline Menzo. Because, you know, on the show, she is portrayed as very conservative, and she says she's not really fun. Caroline does not dance on table, doesn't do this, doesn't do that. But Teresa, in her book, I think it was her first book, she said something like, Caroline likes to have fun. I think they ordered at some point in time some male exotic dancers with Dina. She said that she's seen Caroline dance on tables when the cameras are not rolling. So I was just wondering, what is your experience with Caroline? And do you think that the viewers have seen the real Caroline?
Well, I was close friends with Dina and Jacqueline. I didn't know Caroline that well. I only knew her as Dina's older sister. I thought she was nice and a good mother and respected her because she was one of my best friend's sisters. I met Caroline when Dina was living with her after Dina's first divorce. And would invite me over. Caroline started inviting me to her yearly all-girl Christmas party. One year they had male strippers there, dressed in Santa hats. It was hilarious.
And she, you know, I know her. I don't know, I've never met Caroline, but we got along in the beginning.
No, I mean, I have to say, I've hung out with Caroline, and I've seen her have a good time. I have. I'm not going to say what I saw her doing, but I did see her having a good time. So I was like, wow. I was shocked when I saw it. I was like, wow, that's Caroline.
I in no way, shape, or form could picture Caroline Menzo dancing on a table. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to see that. You very rarely see Caroline smile. I mean, she laughs a lot when she's with her kids. I noticed that. You know, when she's with her daughter and her son, more like more a son, she's laughing and having a good time. Caroline and I really never meshed. I mean, I think she puts her nose down to people. I am going to be doing a YouTube live. Going to tell you the whole story about what happened on that island. Okay. About what happened once she got there, when she went to do the show with Brandi Glanville. There was something that took place before all of that happened, which made her feel uncomfortable. I'm going to be going through all that, so I'll let you all know when the live. Caroline Menzo, to me, does not even have a personality. I think that what you saw on that show is what Caroline Menzo was really all about. She, when she bullied Danielle, I think she's judgmental. I think that her life is not what she made it appear, just like Dina. Life wasn't the way she made it appear. There were certain things that were alleged that her husband was doing, which I know he was, which I won't get into because I'm not going to, you know, try to break up a family. But she's very, to me, she's not very friendly. She kind of thinks who she is. I've never seen her have a good time or be, you know, the only time I see her laughing is when she was with her kids in her house. I don't find her having much of a personality at all, but she fit the bill at the time. It was supposed to be Italian families. She was a very good bully to Danielle. I think she made good TV. But I think a lot of stuff is going to come out now, which reveals that she's really not a team player. And I think it was a perfect time for her to get off the show. That's what I think. But I can't even imagine her dancing on a table. No, no. I would like to question Teresa on that. No.
Okay. But Caroline also said at the reunion to Andy, I don't know if you recall, she said, I've gotten lap dances like with my husband at the strip club. I think it was season five, I think, reunion, she said that.
Well, I wouldn't put that past her because, yeah, she wasn't the one giving the lap dance. I would believe that, you know, because remember her son used to talk about opening up a strip club, car wash. Yeah. I could believe her that her husband wanted her to go to a strip club and she went and he got lap dances. I would believe that because I think that she would try to do that to please her husband. That's something I would not do. To please a man or a husband, I would be like, you want a lap dance, honey? Go get your lap dance. I really don't care. You know, I'm not fond of that kind of shit. But I'm not going there sitting next to you getting a lap dance. I don't do that. I don't judge her. I give her kudos for doing that. I do. If she did it, good for you, Caroline Manzo. Thank God you loosened up a little bit. That's all I can say and I do believe her. I don't think she would make something like that up because she wouldn't even want, I can't even imagine her being proud of that, but I'm proud of her. I think it's a great thing.
Thank you. So
she's laughing.
People want to know, what is the backstory between you and Jennifer Dalton and your feud on the show? What can you tell us about that?
So Jennifer Dalton, when they were looking for friends for Teresa, okay, they already knew I was going to be there, you know. So they bring on this random, I felt ghetto-ish girl, Jennifer Dalton. Her claim to fame was that she was very close friends with Little Kim, okay. So she comes onto the scene, and I look at her, and I'm like, I've never seen this girl before. This is not somebody who's a close friend of Teresa. I think Teresa met her out somewhere or whatever. And I felt that she talked really funny. She was a weird looking chick. Some of the clothes that she was wearing were a little odd, very, you know, street gangsta. And I'm like, this isn't a real friend of Teresa. Supposedly she was a realtor and all that. We did not click from the beginning. So we filmed the first time at Teresa's house. She shows up. She did not like me a little bit. I did not like her a little bit at all. We just didn't click. Okay. I tried to be decent. I tried to be nice. But I was just like, this is very phony-ish. And honestly, I don't like the phony stuff. I would have liked have it to have been real. Like Teresa did at the time, have other friends that they could have picked that would have meshed well with me because I knew them. You know, I didn't like her. And then throughout the year, they try to pit us against. They saw that. They saw that I didn't like her, so they wanted to ride my ass a little bit about it. And then they, you know, she goes, well, I'm going to have a fashion show. So she decides to have her fashion show and try to compete with me, which, okay, you know, knock yourself out. It happened to be different than mine. It was fine. And I had my fashion show, too, which they filmed, and it did very well. So her fashion show was the finale. And that's where you see the culmination of the fact that I did not like her very much. And I'm making fun of her. She wore this like ball gown to her fashion show. And I was like making fun of her a little bit, you know, which I do. And she comes at me. She says a few things about me and, you know, Michael at the time who had passed away. And, like, you know, he didn't marry you or whatever. And I'm like, I didn't marry him. You know, like, that's not what I don't need to have, like, she had a couple different kids with different baby daddies. I go, I don't need to be popping out kids with different men and having them marry me. I'm in a different category than you. And that's where it really bursts. And she says something and I go, get out of here. And I push her. And then she comes back and she tries to do something. And Emma, of course, puts her hand in the middle. And when Emma puts her hand in the middle of something, you don't go against Emma. So we did not mesh from the beginning. Jen Dalton was not a real friend. They were acquaintances at the best. And, you know, we didn't mesh right from the beginning. It was not good. We did not like each other.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder where she is now because, you know,
and that's
she
unusual
is very
for me because I like everyone.
She's very good friends with Jennifer, who was on the show, Jen Aiden. That's her very good girlfriend.
Now, to this day?
No, before Jen was even on the show.
Okay, well, let me just say what happened to this poor girl since. She's had two or three strokes. Sad, very sad. Two or three strokes. The little daughter, Rain, the one the father took over, took her, or the grandmother, whatever. And she's not very well. You know, I heard that she recuperated. I heard she recuperated, but she's not doing that great. She had some strokes. So I don't know if she's still front. I don't even know how she would even see Jen Aiden. But I wouldn't be surprised at that relationship either. I wouldn't be surprised. And I have my own reasons for thinking that. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at that relationship.
Okay, so a little bit of a fun question for you, Kim. You've been on the show as a friend of Teresa for the longest time, and people wanted to know why you were never on a cast trip with the ladies.
Well, you know, I could surmise why. I could surmise why, okay? Even though I try to be a team player, okay, I really tried to do my job the way I was supposed to do it. I would get a lot of taps on the shoulders and I would refuse to say and do certain things. And a lot of the time there was retaliation against me. You know, there was a second reunion that I was supposed to do. And one of the head producers, Lucilla, told Jacqueline Larita, which will be in my book also, they're like, well, why are we going to bring Kim on? What, so she can have Teresa's back? So she could lie for Teresa? You know, so I got myself in a lot of trouble by being very loyal, okay, and not doing certain things that they told me to do. So I'm going to say that there's two reasons why I wasn't on the trip. Number one, I have an extremely strong personality, and I don't think they really needed me. You know, I really don't think they saw me as a group person. And I think also that's how Andy Cohen said it. He's like, I don't see Kim as a housewife, as like a collaborator. I see her having her own show. I see her, you know, being at Posh and seeing the girls and having the Posh fashion show and them being in it. They just didn't see me as a group person. You know, they just didn't see it that way. So that's why, to be honest with you, and I'm going to be very honest with you, I wouldn't have gone unless I was under contract to go. I am not one to do girls trips, really. And they, you know, remember, they went in RVs. I mean, I'm really spoiled in that sense. You know what I'm saying? I really, my accommodations really have to be superb. And they really didn't have the best trips and the best accommodations. And they had to drive like 5 hours. You know, that's not my cup of tea. So I'm kind of thrilled they didn't ask. And I would have said no. So, yeah, it's just not my thing. You know, I don't even like when I love hanging out with my friends, but I really kind of stay away from girls trips where you have to drive 5 hours to get there or whatever. It's not my gig, you know, so I'm glad they didn't invite me. And I don't think they thought I was more of a collaboration type character.
Now I wanted to talk about the Posh fashion show. Just a quick question. You know, you're at that table with Teresa and Greg Bennett and Jacqueline Larita. And then we have Danielle Staub sitting with Kim G with, I think, Monica Chacon. So how much of that was your decision, or was it your decision or production's decision to sit Danielle at a different table?
Well, my decision, and I'm going to bring my significant other into this, okay? I don't recommend people to listen to their significant other. He didn't ask much of me, but because I hung out with Danielle with him when I first met her and he saw some of her actions, he's an old fashioned guy. He asked me politely not to film directly with her. He was a businessman, you know, family type guy. And he was like, I really don't like the reputation. Like, I'm not telling you, you can never speak to her. I'm not, because he wouldn't dare, but he really didn't want me to be seen on camera just with Danielle. Okay, so with that said, Danielle comes to me and she said, can you get Kim G, Kim Granitelle, who was my sister-in-law, can you get her to film with me? She has a lot of money. She's fun. I'd love to meet with her. And I said, of course. I asked Kim, will you be on it? Kim says yes. Now, Kim and her become friends. They film together. I'm filming more with Teresa and Jacqueline. Really more my cup of tea. Really become good friends with both of them. I'm still very close with Jacqueline. Okay. I go to my fashion show. I had done all the seating. Yes, I did put Danielle at Kim's table because Danielle and Kim were filming together. They were friends. And I did put Jacqueline and Teresa at my table. We were friends. I did not put them directly across from me. Okay? Carlos King comes in before I get there. And he has in his mind what he wants. He was brilliant. He was a brilliant producer. We were number one at the time. So he rearranges all my tables. People were waiting online, trying to find their table. All the tables were screwed up. My mother's friends were all carrying on because they belonged to the club and they had their table set. And he decides to put them directly across across from us so that we have to look at each other the whole night. So that's why Danielle and Kim were facing us, but they were sitting at the same table because they were friends. They were filming together. But that's why that bubbled up. Now, Danielle could have done two things. Danielle was mad at me because I had Teresa and Jacqueline, which was ridiculous. She was filming with Kim. She knew. She could have accepted it like a lady and had a good time and smiled and enjoyed. And she was mad because I didn't have Christine walking. Now, I love Christine. Christine was beautiful. Christine was a model. But Christine was 16. And Christine did not belong there. There was drinking. We knew there would be drama. We didn't know what kind of drama. And I didn't feel a 16-year-old young girl should be there. And I still don't feel young kids should be at my fashion show. It's not that kind of a fashion show, okay? It's an event where people are drinking and having a good time, and they could be swearing, and they could be dressed provocatively. And that's the only reason why Christine was not asked to be in it. So that's that.
Wow.
And that's why they were
seeing it. I did not know that. So he reshuffled.
It did work out well.
Thank you so much.
He shuffled a lot of things, which I wanted to wring his neck at the time, but it worked out perfectly.
So just speaking of Teresa very quickly, do you know what happened to her hairdresser, Evelyn?
Have to go. Oh, my God.
Go where?
We have to go to the christening. And Evelyn, my hair girl that I've been using for 6 years, is at Melissa's house. If I'm late to the church, it's Melissa's fault. All right, girls, don't mess up your hair. Joe?
Teresa, Evelyn's here.
Evelyn, I gotta go. Oh, my God. Come on. You should have been like, I have to go to Teresa's house.
Really? I didn't know if I should say it.
Daniel!
Tell
Joe we need to go.
Can I make this a little bit bigger?
Are you serious?
Do you feel like it's too big already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Evelyn used to be my personal hairstylist, but Melissa went behind my back and hired her anyway. It really bothered me, but now, like my mom says, it's a form of flattery.
Evelyn, how long ago was Evelyn?
That was season one and season two, and I think she was curling her hair for the christening, actually, or Melissa's hair for the christening, and then Teresa said something like, oh, Melissa hired Evelyn behind my back, and we've never seen Evelyn ever on the show ever again.
Well, that's the reason. Because, you know, let me go back to the Teresa-Melissa thing. Teresa always said that Melissa copied her. Now, you could take that two different ways. I believe if someone's going to copy me, okay, I take that as a compliment. Okay, what do they say if someone, there's a saying, right, that if they
copy. Of flattery.
Yes, is the highest form of flattery. That's the way I take things. I'm a stylist, Barbie's a stylist. So if you want to dress like me, look like me, I'm thrilled. Okay. So Teresa took umbrage with the fact that Teresa would have a photographer take pictures of her children and dress them a certain way, and then supposedly Melissa would hire the same photographer. Teresa would have a Christmas card looking a certain way, and supposedly Melissa would do the same, okay? There was a lot of things that Teresa felt that Melissa would copy from her. Now, if I was Teresa, I would be like, oh, you know, she wants to copy me. I'm the older sister. But Teresa didn't take it that way. She did not take it that way. And Teresa is, she doesn't like to share, okay? She doesn't like to share her friends. I mean, you see, if your friends now, like Margaret's her enemy, your friends are Margaret, you know, she don't want nothing to do with you, okay? So I think back then with this Evelyn, I remember the story now. Once she found out that Evelyn would go behind her back and do Melissa's hair, which is no big deal. It's your sister-in-law. That's the kind of relationship they had. Things were not good. And once you betray her in that way, whether it's her hair, it's her nails, it's her makeup, whatever the case may be, you're out. You're out. And someone else will fill your position. So that's what happened with Evelyn. Evelyn's pink bad. I mean, what happens?
Kudos to Teresa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? She's like, you're my hairdresser. You don't belong over there in that house. You stick with me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, and that's the way she is to this day.
Okay. You know, in the episode, Friends for Never, we hear Jacqueline talking to her husband. I think she had a falling out with Teresa at that point. And we hear Jacqueline say, Teresa's very jealous of Melissa and that she gets upset whenever someone likes Melissa or talks to Melissa.
No interest at all. You know what? I never noticed before until we started hanging out with her family, and I watched with my own eyes. I've seen how she treats people, and she's not a good person. The reason Teresa liked me is because I always put her on a pedestal. But when she has a little bit of someone who also enjoys the limelight, say like Melissa, she can't handle it. Teresa is an extremely jealous person. No one else can make money but her. She's like, I got this whole area covered.
Listen, if they make $1 billion, God bless them.
I know, God bless them. They're going to need it to pay back that $11 million in debt that they screwed everyone over on.
And I was just wondering if you ever felt pressured by Teresa behind the scenes not to be friends with the Gorgas, because when you joined the show, you did the Halloween party with them and we saw you guys have a lot of fun. And I was just wondering if that came in between the relationship between you and the Gorga because of your relationship with Teresa.
Okay. That, you know, that's a very interesting question because I know Teresa did that with people. Okay. Did not do it with me. And the more I think about it now, it's very surprising because she didn't do it with me, and she was very receptive to me when I made up with the Gorgas at one time, okay? And it happened to be Teresa's birthday around that time. And a friend of mine, Damien, was friends with Teresa, but didn't know Joe or Melissa. And I was fine with them. And it was Teresa's birthday. So we wanted to do something nice. And nobody was really talking. So I say to Teresa, we want to take you out for your birthday. We used to go to this place called STK. And I said, they want to take you out for your birthday, but we want to invite Joe and Melissa. And we want to put you guys back together. And Teresa goes, well, do you think that they would go? And I'm like, I think they would go. And this is the God's honest truth. When I call Melissa and Joe, they go, well, are you going? Will you be in the car with us? And of course I'm going. If you're going, I'm going. Okay, I know this is going to be shocking to the viewers, but that's what happened. And we got a limo. Damien sent the limo. He was in the car. We picked Teresa and Joe up first. At that time, they all lived in Tewaco and Montville. We picked Joe and Melissa up. We went to STK and had the time of our lives. Now, I will tell you, Angel does the show with me. He came there. We danced. When Joe Gorga and I hit the dance floor, this is after the San Cubana fight, people lost their shit. They're like, oh, that's Kim Day and Joe Gorga. Like, oh my God, oh my God. We had a ball. Things did not go well after that, but we had a very good time. So she never said to me, don't be friends with Melissa. Why are you talking about that? First of all, it didn't last very long. The friendship, it didn't last very long. But she never came to me and said, don't talk to them. Don't be friends with them. She really didn't. So I find that to be very interesting because I know she did it with Jacqueline. You know, that I know. Jacqueline didn't lie about that. I don't think she did it with Caroline either, to be honest with you. I think it was more Jacqueline, you know? So yeah, not me. I didn't get that speech.
Why do you think? Do you think because of personality she knows who to go to and who not to?
Yeah. I just think she knows the kind of person that I am. And I don't think she would think that would fly with me. And I think she would think I would say to her, why? You know what I mean? Why can't I be friendly with them? That's your brother. Because she never said to me, I don't like them. Or So why I would be like, well, I don't understand. Why do you have a problem with that? So I think that could be the reason, Barbie. I think that's definitely the reason. She's
intimidated by alpha females.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I intimidated her too much. I just think she knew that was going over the line with me. Yeah, you know, I think she knew that's going over the line.
Thank you, Kim. I only have one more question, and it's kind of an easy one.
Okay.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to, because I know you're probably going to have one of the twins on your show. But people wanted to know if you know Victoria Gotti at all, if you have a relationship with her or if you know her.
I do not. And it's really weird because so many people ask me that because they feel that we kind of have the same type of personalities. But no, I don't know Victoria Gotti. I watched her show. I loved Growing Up Gotti or something like that. I used to watch it. I thought her sons were adorable. I like Victoria. I think she's fabulous. I think she overcame a lot, you know. So, Victoria, I think you're great. Maybe you could come on my show one time. But no, we do not know each other. I thought it would, the relationship between Teresa and her was very interesting. I liked it. I thought it was cute that they became friends. And I could understand why Victoria would like Teresa. Okay. So, no, I do not know them and her. But I would welcome to know her. I think she's a fascinating woman. And I think she overcame a lot. You know, I like her. I like her a lot. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Kim.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So if you're done with my questions, we have some for you.
I am.
Okay. So, Barbie, why don't you ask her what you were, something was on Barbie's mind and she wanted to ask you something. We had read something that you put up and I give you kudos. I really do, because no one ever thought to look up the judge. Now, I'm not saying who's guilty, who's not guilty. I'm coming in fair. Okay. But I do like to know about women empowerment. And I do like to know if a judge really is kind of against women.
Yeah.
You know,
how
so
he
go
plays.
Ahead, Barbie.
So playing a little bit of like true detective, like in every case, you kind of want to know the judge's personality. Like, what do you think he's going to go inclined for? Is
or
he going to, or she, is he or she going to protect who, or what do you think would be like the fair case? Do we know anything about like the judge, like what he is into in regards to protection?
Right. So when it comes to that situation, I'm going to say this. So I was able to find three different cases in the New Jersey family court system where women were told similar things by the court, and the court was led by the same judge involved in Louis' case. So to make a long story short, that judge, who happens to be a woman as well, told the women that they were not credible. And had either their temporary restraining order extension denied or they lost some of their visitation rights and custody of their children temporarily. So in one particular case, and that case kind of spoke to me a little bit more, is the dad was being aggressive with the kids. And every time he was in their presence, he would speak poorly of the mother to the children in an effort to pin them against the mom. So at some point in time, the daughter decided that she no longer wanted to go and see her dad. So the mother was kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And she kept the daughter at home while the son would hesitantly still go visit the dad. So the mother got slammed in court for alienation. The father was able to obtain makeup time by the court. And for the next 6 months, the mother only got to see her kids once or twice a week. So it wasn't until much, much later when an independent assessment was done on the children by a professional with a report of 150 pages. And normally those reports are between 50 to 60 pages, that the judge finally ruled in favor of the mother and the children, because apparently the report was that bad. So we can only imagine the damage that something like this had on the kids. Yeah.
So that's it, guys. That's all I have for this week. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the questions and the interview between myself and Kim D. You can always follow me on my Instagram at relatable_Stella, everywhere else on my YouTube and Podbean and podcast. It's Housewives Relatable. You can also follow me on Twitter at Housewives Relatable. And don't forget to subscribe to the blog at housewivesrelatable.substack.com. And thank you, as always, be a fan, not fanatical. Ciao.